The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Last year, we had one of the biggest increases in sexually transmitted infections in Ireland in recent times. And as we near the end of this year, 2024, have we made any progress in reducing transmission? Well, joining me now to talk about this and to offer some advice is Dr. Aisling Loy, consultant in sexual health at St. James Hospital and the Himarus Health Clinic. Aisling, good morning and welcome.
Thanks, Pat. Good morning.
So 2023 was a bad year, and do we know why?
It was a bad year. I think there is many factors in it, and hopefully I'm thinking that it was due to we increased our testing with the home test kits, and I'm hoping it was a bit like cracking an egg to make an omelette. You sort of have to find all these infections and treat them, and hopefully then you see the return on that in the future years with people's habits changing, knowing that they can get access easily at home to free testing with the SH24 programme, and you know that they can then get treated and stop onward transmission.
So the year-on-year comparison, 2024 thus far with 23, the same period, up or down?
Slightly down with two infections. So the big two that we have are chlamydia and gonorrhea, and they're down about 15% from last year. They're still up from the year before. So if we go looking at 2021 compared to 2022 compared to 2024, we're still up about 15%. Last year was the huge jump, up about 30%. So I think we've turned a corner. Hopefully it remains to be seen going forward in the next few years, but we're hoping that it's the first sign of turning a corner.
But the rate of infection this year so far, 19,000
transmitted infections.
Yeah. How does that compare with, say, a decade ago?
It's a huge increase to a decade ago. I don't have the figures to mind of what it was 10 years ago. But, if you look at the graphs that the HPSC publish, you can see a huge spike about 10 years ago going up. And a lot of that is that people became more aware of how to test and got access to care. But behaviours have changed definitely over the last 10 years. There's more reported sexual partners, less use of condoms and prevention methods. We now have pre-exposure prophylaxis for people who are at risk of getting HIV. And with that then comes sort of the people will stop often using condoms if they don't have the risk of HIV, and they'll put themselves at risk of other infections. So that increases our risks.
Now, you mentioned chlamydia and gonorrhea down on last year, but infections like syphilis on the rise.
Yeah.
Now, certainly when I was a young fellow, the idea of syphilis was horrific.
Yeah.
How bad a condition is it, and how easily treated is it? And if you don't treat it, what happens?
Yeah, so syphilis is one of the scarier ones because it can cause multi-systemic problems. So it can affect all parts of the body, the eyes, visual disturbances, hearing loss. It can lead to dementia, heart conditions, bone problems. Most people will have absolutely no symptoms, so they won't know they have an issue. You can get a rash, a little lesion. You can feel systemically unwell. You can feel a flu-like illness, sore throat.
So the first clue you might get that you have syphilis is when one of those other conditions, the secondary conditions, like your eyes being affected, your ears being affected, that might be the first clue you have.
That might be the first clue, or you might not even get that clue at all. So a lot of people will have absolutely no idea, or they'll pass it off as, gosh, I just got a bad flu and it passed and it's fine. And it lives in what's called the latent phase in your body. Most people have no idea until they do a blood test. It could be that they're giving blood, donating blood, or doing an STI test, or they're turning up to the emergency department and someone picks it up.
And would it be picked up by the blood transfusion service?
Yes, yeah. And we would get some referrals from the blood transfusion service when people go to donate blood. excuse me. So, yes, it is something that's easy to treat. So it's worth testing for it, because the problem really is around young women in particular, because with young women, if they get it and get pregnant, it's very harmful to the unborn child. And we've diagnosed in the last few weeks, I've diagnosed two young women in early pregnancy with it. And it's very treatable and it's screened for in early pregnancy if it's caught. But you'd rather get it treated before you get pregnant.
Now, going back to someone who's got it but doesn't know it and it's in its latent phase, what triggers it out of latency that might lead to these terrible conditions?
Sometimes it can be that you're a bit run down, a bit immune suppressed, or you have another illness, or it can just be progression. It's natural progression with aging.
Moving on to other conditions, like you can home test for a number of these conditions, but there are other conditions which you won't find in a home test. These are rare enough, I suppose, but what are they?
Mm-hmm. So the home test is great in that it covers the big five: the chlamydia, gonorrhea, HIV, hepatitis B and syphilis. However, what I'd say to patients is if you have done the home test and you have symptoms, don't sort of say, well, that's it done. I definitely don't have an STI. There are other STIs that we don't test for in the home test kit. So things like Trichomonas vaginalis, which could cause an abnormal discomfort in the vagina, discharge, an itch. Other things are Mycoplasma genitalium. Again, you could have a discomfort on urination, a discharge, an itch, or abnormal bleeding. Things like Mpox is another infection just to be aware of, mostly in the GBMSM community. And we haven't had that many diagnoses this year, but a lot more than last year. And it's just to be aware if you get any unusual pox-like lesions and you fall into the at-risk group to get that tested. Lymphogranuloma venereum, that's another infection that is a type of chlamydia that can cause proctitis, lymph node swelling. So it's just to be aware that there are things out there that you mightn't have tested for, just if you're symptomatic, to present to a gum clinic or your GP to get referred on.
Now, what about herpes? Is that eliminatable or does it always linger in the system?
It always lingers in the system. Most of the herpes diagnoses in Ireland are herpes type 1. So it is, generally speaking, especially in the young people, it's cold sore virus, which is a very common virus. Nearly all of us have it. Most of us have it orally. But whether I say to patients, whether it's orally or on the genital area, it really makes no difference. It's a very common infection that 80% of the population have. It causes immense distress. So I'd say to patients to come know which type it is and get properly counselled on it. Because if you just go down a rabbit hole online reading about it, it would really scare you. And it's absolute misinformation. Most of the stuff that you see on the forums and online, it's very untrue and very much scaremongering.
Genital warts.
Mm-hmm.
Common?
They are getting less and less common. So thankfully, ever since the introduction of the HPV vaccine, which is a huge medical success in the last 14 years, we are seeing the knock-on impact. So those people are now in their 20s, those young women. The guys who have been vaccinated are still in their teens, so they only started the programme a bit later. But it is going to be, when I near retirement, it will be a historical sort of diagnosis, I think, from all these people getting vaccinated.
I mean, for women, obviously, the cervical cancer, and we mentioned the genital warts. But for men, head and neck cancer is an issue, isn't it?
Yeah, so most head and neck cancers, anal cancers, penile cancers are HPV derived. So they come from that virus. And it's great that now we have a vaccine against a cancer that is effective. And the data coming out now looking at the women who are getting their smears, who are in their 20s, we're seeing no cervical cancer in a study coming out from Scotland of 40,000 young women who had had that vaccine and now are getting their smears. And you would have expected in that cohort to have diagnosed around 17 cases of cervical cancer.
And now
there are none. So it's an incredible success story in modern medicine, and I'd urge people to get that vaccine
now,
for the young people.
People going to a genitourinary medicine clinic or a gum clinic, still a bit of a stigma attached to it. You do other things, though, besides we've been talking about.
There's a huge stigma. And I love when I come on this show and you'll get a few people coming in the weeks after and they'll say, gosh, you know, I never knew that you did these sorts of things as well. I thought it was just STIs. So we do look after skin conditions in that area because people often don't know where to turn to when they have a rash on the genital area. And they think, well, look, it's not an STI. I don't need to be going to one of those type of clinics. But we do deal with genital dermatoses, so things like lichen sclerosis. We'll see things that like scabies, folliculitis, molluscum contagiosum. So there's loads of skin issues that might even come from a little bit of urinary incontinence, from skin erosions on the area due to acid from the urine sitting close to the skin. So a lot of our consultations are around skincare and giving out skin products that will help alleviate their symptoms that are absolutely not to do with sexually transmitted infections. So I'd urge people not to be stigmatised and come to the clinic.
Finally, I should ask you about party season. It's starting. Are there any cautionary notes you'd like to sound?
Yeah, party season is here and there'll be a lot of drink taken usually. And with that, inhibitions fall and people make mistakes. So I'd urge people to carry condoms and use them, to get tested before the season, ideally, so that you're not spreading infections unwittingly. If you've had an encounter, to test after, to get vaccinated. So there are things you can get vaccinated against: hepatitis A and B, mpox if you're at risk, and HPV. And to just educate yourself. There's a really good website out there, sexualwellbeing.ie, ran by the HSE, which has a lot of information and resources available as to where to get access to clinics and care.
Okay, and the prep, is important, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. So anyone who is at risk of acquiring HIV, to go online on that website again, go under PrEP and see where you can access PrEP, which is available free to people that need it to prevent HIV.
Dr. Aisling Loy, consultant in sexual health at St. James Hospital and at the Himmerus Health Clinic. Aisling, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.